Today's daf is daf Pei Beis, and we're holding on Pei Aleph Omed Beis, bringing you the daf Yomi in Masechet Bava Metzia, 6 Perek Asochra Ta'umanim, right here on the Baltic. Said the Mishnah, Hilvo Al Hamashkon. So, the case that we had over here is that the borrower leaves something in pawn with the lender. That over there, the halacha is that the lender has a din of a Shomer Sachar. And if that thing is stolen, then it's his responsibility. We'll see later on, the sachar that he gets is the sachar of the mitzvah itself, to be discussed later. So now, limimatitin the lo karabi Eliezer, would appear from this that we're disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer and the Braita, the Tanya. Ha-malvet chavir ha-lamashkon v'yavan ha-mashkon. In a case where somebody lent money based on security, and the security was lost, yishava, the lender should swear that the mashkon was lost and that he was not porshea, which is the normal din of a shvuat shomrim for a shomer chinam, and that's all that he needs to do, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that taking a mashkon is not for the purposes of collection; it is simply a guarantee that he should be able to collect. And there'd be no argument about whether this is the loan, but it wasn't meant to be first-order collection to keep the mashkon. So therefore, it's a shomer chinam. The Tanya, ha-malvet chavira la-mashkon v'yavan ha-mashkon, yishava v'yitoma otav. So then he can still recollect his debt from the borrower as long as he swears the Shvat HaShomrim that there was no negligence. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva omer yochol lomar lo klum el vitani ala ala mashkon, avan mashkon avdu mo'otech. On the contrary, the borrower can say to him, look, you only lent me this money because I gave you security, and now that you lost the security, you lost your money. Exactly. So as Rabbi Akiva holds that a lender takes a mashkon, basically as his first order of collection. At least he knows that he's going to be keeping that thing for himself. So in a case, however, alval hilvo elav zuz bishtar, if he lent him now, let's say, $1,000 with a contract, and then he gave him some security on that loan, then there even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Rabbi Akiva that he certainly is going to be responsible for the loss of the mashkon, because since he had a shtar and could have collected based on the shtar, if he wanted to go against the other guy's property or to prove the fact that it was a loan, there's a shtar there to prove it and to collect from. So the only reason, therefore, that he takes the mashkon would be that he would be able to collect without further ado. And therefore, he certainly is getting benefit from it and has a din of a shomer sachar. So that means that Rabbi Eliezer holds, a malva ala mashkon is a shomer chinam, seems to hold not like our Mishnah that says it's a shomer sachar. Says the Gemara, no, afilu tema, Rabbi Eliezer, is not a problem, and our Mishnah works out perfectly well. Velokasha, what's the problem? We could simply say that in the Bright it's talking about kan mishkano b'sha'at halva'ato, the mashkin was taking at the time of the halva, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer is saying zeshamrechina, because he only took the mashkon in order to make certain that the person would not deny that the halva'at took place. Whereas the Mishnah here is talking about kan, after it was time now to pay, and the guy was not bringing money to pay, and the guy goes to Bezdin and says, I want my money. So the Bezdin says, okay, look, will you accept, meanwhile, a mashkin until he gets his money together? And over there, he certainly is taking the mashkin in order to collect his debt from, in which case, even Rabbi Eliezer would be made that he has a din of a shomer sachar, because he's got benefits from it. Ask the Gemara va'idei ve'idei hilvohu ala mashkon katani. This is an awfully artificial distinction, because, I mean, the words are hilvohu ala mashkon, the same exact words in both cases, which is mashma, that at the time of the halva'ah, there was a mashkon that was there. How can you kvetch and say that means he had made it not ala mashkon, but afterwards it became alvo ala mashkon? Ella, therefore, will have to give a different parents. Clearly, it is talking about that he was ilvo ala mashkon, and it's still not a problem. It could work out a little bit of Eliezer. Lokasha, the Mishnah over here can hold that normally he has a din of a shomer sachar, and that still is not a problem to Rabbi Eliezer, who says in the Braita that normally is a Asher Mechina. Because Khan in the Braita, it's talking about the cases, he said, the Ilvo Ma'ot. He lent him cash. And because of that, the din is that the lender is indeed a Shomer Chino, because he doesn't get anything out of it at all. And because of that, Rebbe Eliezer is saying, he is not Nehne in taking the Mashkin for the loan. But in our Mishnah, there is a Hana'a, not the Mashkin, but rather the fact that he was Ilvohu Peirot. He gave him Peirot as a loan. And in that case, since Peirot are things that will rot, and he's very happy to have somebody come along now and take it off his hands, and he's going to have to now basically be a buyer on those Peirot, would mean that he's being Nene from the fact that for all intents and purposes he sold his Peirot. Ask the Gemara, Vomidiktani Seifa, but wait a minute. That's the next case. The Mishnah continues on to say, Rabbi Yonamir, Hilvom Ma'ot Shomer Chino, Hilvom Peirot Shomer Socher. Isn't that obvious then that the Tanakhama doesn't agree to that distinction? Bechlad the Tanakhama lo shani, it makes no difference to the Tanakhama. Even if it would be Ma'ot, it would still be a Shomer Socher. So how can you say it's going Aliba, the Rebbe Eliezer? No, says the Gemara. Actually, it's not a Machlokas. The Mishnah is Rebbe Yehuda. And it's just missing a little bit of a few words over here. Kula Rabbi Yehuda v'chisur mechas v'achiktoni. Hilvo ala mashkoni z'shom resocha. Now put in these words. B'meh d'vorim amurim k'shilvo perot. When do we say that he has a din of a shom resocha? That's only where he gets an ancillary benefit for making a loan, where it's talking about the loan is perot that could have rotted, and therefore he's very happy to get rid of it. Aval Hilvoh Ma'ot, if you're talking about lending him cash, then indeed he has a halacha of a Shomer Chinam, because he has no ancillary advantage. And why is this? Now click back into the Mishnah. Shereb Yehuda Omer Hilvoh Ma'ot Shomer Chinam Hilvoh Perot Shomer Sechar. The Mishnah did not mean to imply there's a Bachlokas Rebbe in the Rabbanan. Yachi asked the Gemara, so if you're telling me that when you lend money, the Mishnah holds that you're a Shomer Chinam, so then you're saying that the Mishnah is not going, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said in the Braita that when you lend Ma'ot, you have a din of a Shomer Sachar. And since Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, and Kulam, I'll leave the Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Meir's Rabbi. Does it make sense to say here that we're talking about a Mishnah, you're changing the Mishnah to be against Rabbi Akiva and for Rabbi Eliezer? What's the point of that? That doesn't make sense. Ella actually machvarta makes more sense to say matnitinda loka Rabbi Eliezer. Says the Gemara Lema, shall we say that this machlokas Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Akiva Nebraita is talking about a case b'dalo shavi mashkon shirzuzi. The mashkon itself really wasn't sufficient to collect from, and they're arguing about the dictum of Shmuel. But Shmuel comes from the Amar Shmuel. I'm on those for alphas is a lechavri. A guy makes a loan of $1,000 to a friend. The other chalei, kata de magle elui. The love gives the malve a handle of a hoe as a mashkin. That's all he's got. If avat kata de magle, if the 50-cent handle of the hoe is lost, that's the end of the loan. Of the alpha zuze. So he loses all of his money despite the fact that the mashkin wasn't worth anything like the loan. So perhaps that's the machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees with Shmuel, and he's saying, well, the guy could say, look, you lost the mashkin, you lost all your money, because that's all that he had that he could guarantee collection of. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that's crazy. He's only keeping this mashkin so that he could show the guy, what do you mean you didn't lend me money? Isn't this your hoe handle? So obviously I did lend you money. How do you think you gave me a hoe? So it was only basically Zichron Dvarim, right? So he had no intention of trying to collect $1,000 debt from a hoe handle. So in that case, where you would have the loss of the mashkin, he wouldn't lose a dime. The only time that Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you do lose it is where you're careful to take a mashkin that is the full value of the loan that you made. So over there, certainly, it's not just a symbol. It's an actual monetary value connected to the loan that Rabbi Eliezer would also agree that the purpose of the mashkin is collection. Says the Gemara, no. If the mashkin was not worth the value of the loan, then on the contrary, kuli alma letlo de Shmuel. If the mashkin is lost, nobody may buy into Shmuel and say that you lost the whole thing, because why would somebody lose $1,000 for a 50-cent handle of a hoe? That doesn't make any sense at all. Now, obviously he could say that he's taking the mashkin to collect his loan, and then he would lose it, but why in the world would we think that that would be the case? So therefore, I say nobody would agree with Shmuel. Hach, on the contrary, the Braita we're talking about a case where Bedavka is worth the shear of the Zuzi, and what they're arguing about is nonetheless what the responsibility is klapi that mashkan. Is it for collection? Therefore, he has a kinyan in the mashkan or not? And that is a famous dictum of Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayim lebal chov shekoneh mashkan. How do we know that a bal chov who takes security is responsible for that security, is considered to be an owner, has the same chiyuvim as the shoel, even in onasim? This is the way Rashi learns, Tosfos learns. It doesn't mean an onasim, it means he's an owner, that is to say, as a din of a shomer socher, and he's chayev in yineva v'aveda, because he basically has the hana'ah of being able to use this mashkon for other things that he wants to buy, either b'chalip and for kedusha isha, but it's not that he actually is the owner of it, the way Rashi is learning. In any event, how do we know this? Says Rabbi Yitzchak Shenema. It says that mashat mu'uma, and then let him bring yotzielachat avot achutza, and make sure you give it back to him if it's needed. Let's say it's his pajamas and he needs it at night. Ashev tashevot avot, and the pasuk concludes with the word lochat yatzidaka, and this will be a great act of charity that God will see in your favor. Now, what is charitable about giving somebody back something that belongs to him? So, im eino kone mashkon, tzedakah min ole. How can you call it charity if it's his own money? Mikan lebalchov shekoneh mashkon. Therefore, it says, Ribbitzchak, you see from here clearly, that a balchov is considered to be an owner in the mashkon, and therefore it's charity if he gives it to him. So this is the machlokas Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva were saying. Now, Rebbe Akiva holds like Rebbe Yitzchak that a balchov is koneh mashkon, therefore if the mashkon is lost, so too is the loan lost. Rebbe Eliezer holds, not like Rebbe Yitzchak, he holds you're not koneh mashkon, and therefore you have it in only of a shor mechinot. Yes, the Gemara is, but you really think that the machlokas would be in Rebbe Yitzchak? I mean, after all, Eimer de'om Rebbe Yitzchak himself only said his halacha in a case where mishkan or shalom b'shat alvato. Remember, the whole context of the pasuk is, ki tasheh b'reyachah masat mu'uma. He owes you something. And then you're coming to the door. There's a fantastic parsha in the Torah. You have no right to go into the guy's house. Yeah. So you don't have a search warrant. You stay at the door.
He brings you
the mashkin. Amazing, amazing. Halacha. Yeah. So obviously, it's not the case that we've been talking about, which is ilvo ala mashkin, where the mashkin was given to you at the time of the alva'ah. Therefore, it's v'lachat tiyat tzedakah. Ava mishkano b'shat alva'ato, which is the case that we've been talking about here, is when we were medayik earlier, Mi'oma, Rabbi Yitzchak never said that. So how could that be the machlokas? Makes no sense. In the bright of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Ella, as going, okay, on the contrary, you're right then. Mishkano shalo b'shat alva'ato kuli alma itlo the Rabbi Yitzchak. That if, in fact, he had taken the mashkin by going to the guy's door and the man brings him out something, so then everybody agrees, l'chat yat tzedakah, and those pajamas, indeed you have a right to, but it's considered to be a tzedakah to give it to him at night. That's true. But here we're talking about, as we were dying earlier, that you were mishkin b'shat halvato. It's a hilvo al hamashkon. And the question over here, therefore, of the machlokes, is what is the din of a shomer aveda? If you find something now in the street, and you keep it until you're able to return it, so, and it says in the pasuk, v'asafto toch b'techa v'ayayimcha, so there's b'chayiv you to keep it ad rosh achicha oto. That point, is it considered to be a shomer socher to be chayiv and gnevel aveda, or are you merely a shomer chinam doing a guy a favor, and therefore you would only be chayiv if you're negligent? Now there we have a machlokas, the itmar. This is a famous machlokas that we've had many times before. Shomer aveda, rabamer, that gives him a din of a shomer chinam. Because what's he getting out of it? Where Rav Yosef Omer, has a din of a shomer socha because of pruta de Rabbi Yosef, since he's being osik b'mitzvah, he's potter min ha-mitzvah, and if a meshulach comes to the door, he's not going to have to give him anything, and that's certainly worth, that's worth a little bit of money, and so he would be chayvim geneva and aveda as a shomer sachar. So if that's the case, Rabbi Akiva says, if somebody lends money ala mashkan, he's also shomer sachar because he's being osik b'mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds, like Rabba, you're not considered to be a shomer sachar just because you're being Isaac b'mitzvah in that sachar. So lema de Rav Yosef tannoi, shall we say that indeed it's dependent in Rav Yosef's halacha, as we just said, is a machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer? I mean, that's a little bit strange that he would be saying maimer only a little bit of one mandiyama. So even though, I mean, according to, as Rashi points out over here, that according to Rabba l'chor, we have no choice but to learn that it's stolen the machlokas, because, I mean, Rabbi Akiva is certainly saying that he's considered to be over here, as Rabbi Yosef says, a shomer sachar. How's he going to get away with that? But that's not necessarily, because all the, it may very well be that all the Rabbi Akiva is saying is that he holds like Shmuel. And that since it was done ala mashkin, you lose the mashkin, you lose the loan. Okay, but in any event, shall we say, therefore, that it's a machlokas tanoim in both directions? Look. It wouldn't be at all. It could very well be there's a major difference between a Shomer and Aveda and our case over here. So be Shomer Aveda. Both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva might agree. The Kulei Ama Yitlu de Rav Yosef, perhaps they both agree about the Pruta de Rav Yosef, and you're considered to be, because of the Yosef Mitzvah, you're considered to be gaining benefit. The Hacha over here, what's the Machloket when it comes to Halva Ala Mashkon? In whether malva tzarich lemashkon, over here we're talking about where the malva actually needs this mashkon for his own use. So whether a person in a case like that is koveya his right to use the mashkon and deduct it from the loan up until the point of the normal value of the loan connected to the normal, I mean the value of the loan connected to the normal price that you would pay for that use, there is the machlokas. So there can be a marsa of Rabbi Akiva holds that even though Lamaisi ends up getting hano with this loan because he's getting the mashkan to use, mitzvah kavich yilvo, vavi shomer sachar, it's nonetheless considered to be a mitzvah because he's potter from paying an oni apruta during that time, and that even though he may be doing it for his own purposes, because he needs this thing, according to Rabbi Akiva, since there's a mitzvah involved, we're always going to assume that there's that kavana as well. And since the kavana is for a mitzvah, so you're being isaac in a mitzvah. So therefore, you would be potter because of putter to Rabbi Yosef. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer suffered a mitzvah kavit. He's not doing any mitzvah at all because his entire intent is looking out for number one, which is himself. Shunato mit kavain. And therefore, he wouldn't be potter from giving a pruta to the ani, and he would have a din of a shomer chinam, in which case it's completely irrelevant that machlok is to our sukkim. Abba Shaul Omer. Now, continuing now in the Mishnah, Abba Shaul says, you could actually mutal ask a bashkanot shel ani, liot pochet volev. An ani gives you a mashkan, you have a right to rent it out, deducting the value of the rental, because that's basically Hashavas Aveda. How else is he going to get back his mashkin if he doesn't have any money? Omer of Chana Barami, Abishua, Lok, Abishua, we indeed pass him like that, that it's understood that you have a right to rent it out. Vafa, Abishua, Lo, Amar, Ela, Bimara, Vipasal. We're talking about over here something like a mora, which is like a hoe, or a fesel, which is a chisel to do, artwork with, or to make stones, what do they call them, you know, to put stones into shape, or a kardom, or a hammer. So over there, these things are tools that you can rent out at any time, and it's worth money, people willing to pay, and nofish agrayo vizuta pachtel, there's very little that happens to them. So you're not taking a risk with his money, you're just making money on his money. But if it's a delicate tool, I mean, then you may end up losing more than you gain. Over there, you can't do it. Somebody's carrying now a barrel of wine. and he's doing it for another guy. He's carrying it from place to place, and he breaks it. Bein shomer chinam, bein shomer sachar, whether he's doing this for free or he's doing it for pay, yishava, all he has to do is swear that he wasn't posheya in it, and at that point he would be patur. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Rebbe Eliezer says, I say also zevaze yishava, that's how I learned it, but I don't make any sense of it. V'tameani im yecholin zevaze yishava, I do not understand why it would be sufficient to swear over here and to be patur, and we're going to see in the Gemara why he was shocked by this mishnah. Tony Rabban, Ramavir Chavit Lachavirom Yimakom Lamakom Meshavara, Ben Shomer Chinam, Ben Shomer Sechar, Yishava. Divi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yudomer, Ben Shomer Chinam, Yishava. But in Nosei Sorcha, Yishalim. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, I too have a Kabbalah, the Zevze Yishava, but I do not understand it. Tamayani Yim Yecholim Zevze Yishava. He's saying, yes, how can he swear? So now, Lameim Rasavar Rabbi Meir. So first of all, you're trying to say over here that when a person slips and breaks the barrel, so there, nitkal, laf poshehu, that he can swear that he wasn't negligent. I mean, isn't Rabbi Meir Shita's that slippage per se is negligence? Vatanya. Does it not say in the Braita that someone who slips, v'nishbara kado, and now his barrel busts all over the place, remember that a barrel in those days is made of earthenware, and it breaks in Rishut HaRabim, for those who come, he doesn't sweep it up, or perhaps his camel falls, velo emida, he doesn't get it out of the way, and now people are damaged by the broken pieces of pottery, mm-hmm. or the fall on his camel. Rabbi Meir is mechayev the owner be'ezekan, because he's considered to be negligent in having slipped. V'chachomim omrim patur midinei adam, v'chayav v'dinei shamayim, v'kayim alanda nitkav v'sheh pligi. The machlokus over here is whether somebody who slips is considered to be negligent. In which case, what we're saying is that I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir, if you slip, you're negligent, you're going to be chayav because it's a bor that you made out of your negligence. And according to Rabbanan, okay, well, you weren't negligent, it was an accident, but b'dinei shamayim, you should have gotten it out of the way.
Well, aren't you being punished for the fact that you didn't clean up after you?
No, because you're not mechuyev to clean up something that isn't yours if you didn't put it there. And since it's an onus, you didn't put it there. Okay, b'dinei shamayim, you should clean up, all right, but that's all. Potter b'dinei adam. So how could Rabbi Meir be the one who says over here that you would be potter because you slipped, if Rabbi Meir is the one who says slippage is dafka that which is considered to be an honest? What do you mean, swear you weren't negligent? Omer Rabbi Elazar, oh man, this is impossible. There is no way to square this with that braita. So Tavra, then what we're going to have to say is that Mishishana Zo, the one who learns in the braita that Rabbi Meir Oznitka is not a poshea, clearly Lo Shana Zo. He didn't learn the braita that according to Rabbi Meir, Nitka is poshea. How can you... It's got to be two different shitot. Now, you're coming now along, says the Gemara, to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Atta Rabbi Yehuda Lameimar, that a shomer chinam can swear that he wasn't a poshea, but if he's no se sachar, he has to pay. Hai ki dine, the din of the shomer chinam, that is potter, is because nitka laf poshea. Vahai ki dine, and here, since he's a shomer sachar, he has a higher degree of responsibility. So then we would say nitkal is considered to be the equivalent of gneva v'aveda. So the same way he would be chayav in gneva v'aveda, he would be chayav on nitkal with a shomer chinam who's part of gneva v'aveda. So vis-a-vis a shomer chinam, gneva v'aveda is the equivalent of an ones. So too is the nitkal the equivalent of an ones. So it's not an absolute ones. It's the middle stage of gneva v'aveda. Comes along now Rebbe Eliezer to say that, well, it's true that the Gemara is Rebbe Meir. In other words, the Kabbalah that we have about this, that we've learned, is indeed what Rebbe Meir said, except that it makes no sense. How could both the Shomer Chinam and the Shomer Sechar swear that they're not a poshea? What's bothering him? You see, I understand Bishlama, what he must be thinking is like this. The Shomer Chinam can indeed be Mishtabah, that is not a Poshea. But how can the Shomer Sachar, Amai Mishtabah, how can he be Poshea? How can he swear that he's not Barshan and therefore not have to pay? It doesn't help a Shomer Sacher to say that he's not a Poshea, because he's Chayev, even if he wasn't a Poshea. Kilo Pashanami Shulame Boy, doesn't have to pay for Geneva Vaveda. So if we saw that Nitkal is not an absolute onus, so then he should be Chayev on Nitkal. So why the heck does Rabbi Meir therefore say that it makes sense for him to swear? So Nami Shalume Boy, even if he wasn't Poshea. And you know what? I have another problem. Forget about the Shomer Sacher. Even the Shomer Chinam is a problem. Because at Tenach B'Mokom Midron, I understand that if he slipped over here in a place which is going down and is a steep incline, okay, so there it's considered to be an onus because it's very easy to slip there. But a guy is not being careful where he's walking in a Shalom B'Mokom Midron. How can he swear that he's not a poshe according to anybody? I mean, is that not ipso facto poshe? The guy's not looking where he's going. And you know, even more. So, afilu b'mokom midron nami. It's also, even if it isn't a place for a midron, it's still not necessarily the case that you could swear. Because ain't tenachachet like a raya. I mean, if we're talking about in some kind of godforsaken place that he was traveling and nobody is there, you can't expect to bring your aid in. So over there we accept the shua. If it's in a place which is a public area and everybody is walking, let him bring a raya that it was broken by onus, and only then it'll be potter, because you cannot take a shvua in a case where it would be easy to prove the facts. The Tani Isi ben Yehuda Omer, why does the Torah say, Davka ein ro'eh shvuat Hashem tia b'nehem? Nobody saw, then you take the shvua. Is that not mashra yesh ro'eh? If there are assumed witnesses, then you can't bring a shvua, yavi ra'ya. Let a ro'eh, the ra'ya, come along and tell you that it was be'onis v'yipater. And we would not accept a shvua. Therefore, I do not understand what the heck is going on over here. Tainas, Rabbi Eliezer.